Welcome to Films and Stuff with your hosts, Pete Mitchell and Ethan Hunt.
Pete, we are back.
Yes, we are.
Episode 3 in the books. How are you feeling about the direction of this series now?
Mixed. Still mixed, to be honest.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty.
I want to keep watching, but I must say that I cannot make a decision on how much I like or dislike the show just yet.
What's holding us back here?
Are you being held back, or do you have an opinion already?
I mean, my feeling is, I'm enjoying how we're kind of live podcasting this, to be honest. But I mean, if I had a lot of other things going on today, if I had anything else, you know, I wanted to watch, I would not feel guilty or disappointed whatsoever putting this aside, and tomorrow I will probably have forgotten about it and wouldn't be like rearranging my schedule to get home or make time so that I could catch the next episode. I would not stay up if I were tired. I mean, we've all had those shows where it's, you know, 1 a.m, it's whatever time, and we say,
one more episode.
You know what? I really want to finish this one, even though it's going to ruin me tomorrow. I'm tired and blah, blah, blah. I don't feel this about this. I feel like, it's you, it's not me.
I think that's where I'm falling.
Yeah. I can't say I don't dislike it. I mean, there's some stuff here, but it's not gripping me somehow. And one of the things I noticed, tell me if you now feel the same, the way that it's shot, I'm not sure what camera they're using or how this is being edited, but it feels very much like an Amazon television show. And it doesn't feel like a different kind of production. I'm not sure how I can describe it better than that, but I just feel like the lighting, the color, even kind of when you look at the background, and I mean, I tip my hat to Amazon, they put a lot of money into this, but if you look at some of the villages and things, it seems kind of small, and there's very narrow shots to kind of hide the fact that it's just 2 or 3 wagon trains or something, and it's not like a big sprawling kind of campus. So I'm just feeling a little bit like this is manufactured, and I'm not really falling into the, you know, the element. I don't feel like I'm there and really living this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think where you and I are is about the same.
Yeah.
Not a bad show, but in an era, or let's say in a time at least, where there are so many shows which are very bingeable, which are more compelling, or let's say compelling to a point where you are ready to make the sacrifice of your time or of your sleep or whatever it is to finish the season, or you know, where you're pushing yourself to watch the season because A, you're intrigued by the premise, and B, you're worried that it might get spoiled by something else the next day. I'm not feeling it. That's not to say it's not a good show. So far, it has not given us any reason to say that it's a bad show. Don't get me wrong. and even some of the shows that we've talked about on here and the shows that we've liked have had their bad elements to them. But this, it's neither here nor there in that regard.
Do you feel like there's nothing that is, you know, we talked about Succession and we don't like Shiv. We talked about Yellowstone. We don't like Beth. But there is no character in the show who's unlikable, nor is there anyone who is likable, you know? Like when you think of Game of Thrones, right? Jaime Lannister, you know, wasn't liked, you know, the Kingslayer. You think of, you know, his brother, who everyone liked as the wisecracking guy. You think about Littlefinger, you know, there were characters in there that you may not actually like the character, but you were compelled to kind of watch them. And here,
yeah,
to be honest, there's really no one who, as far as I can tell, has any personality. No one is too aggressive. No one is too soft. No one is too sarcastic. No one is at all funny. I don't think there's been any moment whatsoever where I've laughed. Have you?
They're all a bit neutral and all a bit blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, again, maybe it's because it's the first season. Maybe it's because, you know, they're still trying to find their legs. But in a again, going back to what I previously said, in a time where you have access to shows that are more compelling or have more compelling characters in them, that's not to say I'm not happy to have this as a part of my watch list and my watch rotation. Is this a show I want to binge?
Yeah.
Probably not. Is this a show that I'm desperately looking forward to season two? If you ask me right now, I don't think so. If Amazon were to cancel this show, would I be shocked or surprised? Probably not. I wouldn't have let's put it this way.
Would you protest? I don't think you'd protest.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say, is I don't have an emotional feeling one way or another towards it. If Apple tomorrow says, by the way, we're not renewing Foundation for season two, or we're not renewing For All Mankind for season two, that's a problem. That's a problem because they've made some compelling shows. I want to see how that story pans out. Here, I mean, I just, you know, I don't see anything in here that makes me want to continue watching it or actively want to watch it.
Yeah.
And will I finish this series? Definitely, because now we're three episodes in. There's only eight. We're
emotionally invested. Well,
maybe not emotionally invested, but at least, you know, we've got some sunk costs now, you know. We may be chasing some bad money with good, but
I think exactly. I mean, the wheel of time has come for us.
Exactly.
As well. And maybe, you know, they do now reference the wheel of time in a few places in this episode three.
Yeah.
And it kind of seems like people are aware that when they die, they are somehow reincarnated, right? I mean, there seems to be some awareness of this.
Yeah. There's some acceptance to it, right? Like, that's a common thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would be interesting, I mean, this isn't a spoiler, so I don't know if this is going to happen, but it'd be cool, is that if all the people who are dying would actually come back and they kind of continue on the grudges, you know, like, maybe not like zombies, but I mean, they would come back in a different form and kind of have the, you know, the grudge and try to carry on, you know, where they were, but in a different form.
Seems
a little bit complex.
What I'm not sure I like so much about this episode, or this episode for certain, but I think, and I hope that this isn't a recurring theme, is how things happen at the speed at which they happen. So like the tavern.
So we're talking about pace.
But not even the pace. It's not even about a pace. It's about, for example, the lady at the tavern, right? Who runs the tavern where Matt and Rand are taking
the barmaid
so that they can earn some money to continue on with their journey. What's weird is the turn that she goes from this unbeknownst, you know, quite nice tavern owner who's giving them a job to all of a sudden being a servant of the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
And that happens in a span of that quote unquote twist happens in a span of 10 minutes. And she goes, right. Yeah. And it's such
in one scene.
Was no hint.
Yeah. Nothing.
There was no allusion to it. There was no, which, you know, once in a while I can understand, but this became such an abrupt turn of events. Yeah. You're just like, what the hell? Like, it makes no sense that this is happening like this, right? It just feels a little off to me because it doesn't feel organic. So I did a little bit of looking up. Apparently the books were made in like the 80s and 90s and finished in the 2010 or 2013 or something like that. So it's not like it's something that was engineered in the last 5 or 10 years based on the basis of Game of Thrones, etc., which is fine. But at the same time, it's, and I don't know if this is the fault of the books or if it's the fault of the direction or the writing on the show, it feels like it's been an engineered show, right? It doesn't, at the moment, it doesn't feel super organic to me.
Yeah. I mean, now that you mention it, I feel also like, you know, Amazon, which has definitely a need to pump original content into their platform. Obviously, they've got the financial resources. They kind of said, okay, is there any series of books out there that are like this?
Yeah.
And someone pulled this thing out. I mean, you've never heard of it. You're way more well-read on this type of stuff than I am. You've never heard of it. It's like they dusted this off, you know, in the dark part of, you know, wherever they got it from, and said, hey, let's just make this into a show. And it was like, yeah, okay, like it's got all these elements. Sure, we can make it great. And in this case, I don't think it's really the books or the story that's a problem. I think it's the filmography, you know, and the acting and the directing that's the problem. I mean, the stories, to be honest, if you'd see a synopsis, it's probably really not that much different from Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, right? I mean, obviously they're different stories, but I mean, if you're just picking up the elements, you wouldn't pick out one of them and say, that's going to be a global game changer. And that one's going to be pretty, and, you know, even Pete and Ethan aren't going to be so into it. So I think that it's really the making of these episodes that unfortunately is
I don't want to say that they've spared expense, because obviously they must have been spending some money on this. But what's weird is there are times where you can see where they're saving or trying to save money, right? The use of shadows and fog, and, you know, the CGI isn't all that great. And again, fine. These are, you know, this is now us nitpicking needlessly.
I definitely like the phrase spared expense. Because usually it's spared no expense in the episode,
I'm with you. It's fine. It's one of those shows that I think I will continue to watch. And it'll be one of those shows that if it's on in the background, like if I'm, you know, working or surfing the web or something like that, I'll have it on in the background. Is it something that, you know, I'm going to make sure that my phone is on silent so that I can watch focused on? No, I don't think so.
Let me ask you a question about another Prime show, which is The Expanse is an Amazon show, right? Now, The Expanse you love. Help me.
I love it.
I've seen, this is in season 6. I've seen a handful of...
it's the final season.
Season 1. And I was more than lukewarm, but I didn't kind of continue. Help our audience understand why The Expanse is so amazing.
So I think The Expanse is good because it came at a time when people wanted to watch a space show, but something that was a little bit more grounded in reality.
Okay.
So, like, if you look at the ships, the designs are very practical. You know, they don't look like something out of Star Wars or Star Trek. It's very, let's say, plausible. I don't want to say realistic because I don't know what realism for space means, for space travel means.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's not about space. The show, even though it's set on Mars, Earth, and space overall, it's fundamentally not a show about space. It's a show about politics, right? It's a very political driven show. It's not too far from Foundation in that regard, which is to say, it's not a show about math. It's not a show about these spaceships. It's about the political intrigue between three factions. The first faction is Earth. The second faction is Mars. And the third faction is spacers, people who actually physically live out on space stations, right? And so you have a tug of war between the three of them, and it's almost like a standoff between the three of them, and there's this power struggle. And so you get elements of space warfare. So you see some dogfighting, but in space. And again, it looks nothing like what we've seen with Star Wars or Star Trek. You've got elements of political drama, you know, like the Secretary General of the UN, who's basically the president of Earth versus the leaders of Mars. And then you also have elements of espionage. That's what I like about it, is there's a little bit of sci-fi, there's a little bit of spacefaring adventuring, there's a lot of political drama, there's a lot of like whodunit, and it's like a long mystery over the course of a season or two. It's, I think, very well done. And because it's grounded, you feel a little bit more attached. It's in the future, but not in the far distant future where, you know, you've got teleporters and crazy technology that we can't fathom today. So
you think I should add this to my watch list, like to the top.
I recommend The Expanse to everybody. I think it's a really good show. Also, apparently based on a series of books. I never read the books. I was advised to get into the shows first, and if I liked the shows, I could get into the books. And because apparently a friend of mine who recommended it to me said that it's one of the few shows that's actually quite faithful to the books. So it's not a bad, it's an easier way to get into the books than to actually read the books, is to watch the show first.
I mean, we've all been in a situation where we've read the books, the show comes out, and we immediately have to go. The
books are almost inevitably better.
Yes. Yeah. Like, have you ever watched a show though and then went back to the books?
No. I've never, because it almost seems like a show or a movie almost seems like the end game for any written thing, right?
Yeah.
It's rare that you would go back to it.
Yeah.
Unless the book was derived from the movie and like expands on the universe, similar to what Lucas did with the expanded universe of Star Wars. But anyway, in any regard, Expanse, highly recommended. But good. Coming back to The Wheel of Time, so far, not a bad show. I definitely want to watch the rest of it. And, you know, maybe you and I need to talk about whether we want to continue doing this on an episode by episode basis, or whether we then watch the rest of the season and then have a discussion, kind of recapping the rest of it.
What attracted me to doing that on an episode by episode basis is the fact that I was anticipating this was going to be action-packed, like some of the other, you know, shows that we've watched, you know, and it would really require a big breakdown. The problem I think that we're encountering here is that even though these are, I mean, to be honest, these are very full episodes. I mean, they're a solid 50, 55 minutes, which is good, but there's not a lot happening that's explained. And I feel like there's just a lot of
happening.
You know, it's not something where we can kind of speculate and say, oh, it's going in this direction, that direction. Like that, we're just throwing stuff against the wall, to be honest. There's not enough context to understand. Okay, like one of these four is the dragon. Now they got split up. Okay, now two of them are together. They went to the bar. The lady tried to attack one of them because she wanted to turn them over to the dark side for something. Okay, like we kind of summarized it, but there's not a whole lot of commentary apart from that to add. And that's, I guess, the disappointing part, is that it's not like, you know, we knew this bar maiden, you know, for an episode and a half, and we thought that she was really good and decent and helping them, and then, you know, she was corrupted, or we saw, you know, her side dealings, and we anticipated this was going to happen, and we could speculate that it happened. It just happened so fast, and then it's a fact, and then she died. So there's nothing else to talk about, really. And I think that's kind of one of the roadblocks that I'm having in this episode by episode breakdown, is that, I mean, I keep referring to the pace, but you're referring to it a little bit differently, which is, you know, how quickly the events are transpiring. And it seems like they're not just happening fast, but they're happening with finality. It's not that someone is flipping. It's that they flipped and then they died. Okay, well,
That's actually a really good way of doing it. Yeah, there's no... Yeah. It almost seems like characters are being introduced and then removed with no purpose other than for their death to be played out or for something sudden and dramatic to happen.
Yes.
And the caveat of all caveats is, yes, we're only on episode 3, right? So maybe things change. Maybe the whole process changes. You know, maybe, you know, again, what's her name? Igwene or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
And Perrin are at this are at this nomad camp, and they're going to make their way to the White Tower. And she thinks that, you know, her boyfriend won't do the same because he, you know, for whatever reason, she believes he's gone home. Whereas he struck, you know, he's fighting to continue to be with her or at least find her. So I think there's going to be a little bit of drama there. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not upset one way or another just because I'm not.
So, I mean, just
I feel indifferent.
I mean, that's the problem, actually, is that I don't feel
any emotion.
I don't feel compassion to any one of these four candidates. I don't dislike any of those four candidates. Maybe I should say I actually don't really like any of them. I more probably dislike all of them than I like them. Yeah. I kind of like Rosamund. I like her consigliere. I like, I think, this new lady who survived the beasts and now is kind of like her healer, reinforcing the premise you and I identified, which is women seem to have some special powers and the dudes are just dudes. And now they've met up with, you know, kind of like the Rosamund doppelganger, the lady in the red jacket who we saw kind of in the opening scene with this other dude who now is wearing kind of a dragon overcoat, which I must say is actually quite striking. I wish I could have the same thing, the embroidered dragon on the lapel. but I mean, so maybe that's going somewhere. But yeah, again, let's hit episode 4, 5, 6, maybe in a row, and then let's recap it after we see those three. Or maybe we just do 4 and 5 in a row, and we do two at a time until we kind of get to the season finale, and let's see where things kind of seem to be going. But right now, I just don't see enough to really break down episode by episode.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's not. It's either moving too slowly or all of a sudden, but it's neither here nor there. The overall story doesn't seem to be moving forward. Let's put it that way. Right? They're still on the run, and they still haven't gotten to wherever they need to get to. Which, you know, in terms of pacing, I can kind of get it's a TV show. I get that you want to get 8 episodes out of it. But at the same time, like, you know, I value my time. And
I value your time as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Ethan. So, you know, let's put it this way. If I had to
watch... People wouldn't know that we value our time based on our schedules.
Based on our schedules, yeah.
Spoiler alert, indeed we do.
Maybe that's what we should call our podcast instead, spoiler alert. On paper, I like what this show is doing, but in actuality or in practice, you know...
On screen, it leaves a little on paper you like it, on screen you do
imagination
not.
And again, it's... I'm not enjoying the...
it's a little to be desired.
I don't want to say I'm not enjoying it in the sense that when we talk about Succession, it's exciting because we can then guess as to or take shots as to what's going to happen in the next season or what's going to happen in the next episode, right? And same with Yellowstone or same with For All Mankind or for any of these shows where the show leaves us wanting more and it leaves us with enough breadcrumbs that we're like, oh, maybe this is where it's going. Maybe this is where it's going. This show isn't leaving us any breadcrumbs at all, and we're just kind of there for the ride.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I mean, it's definitely, you know, kind of just like forcing stuff on us, and it's not giving us, I think, it's not letting us use our imagination. It's not letting us use our creativity. It's you know, one of the things about, you know, filmmaking that I've been told is that you don't always have to show things happen. You know, you can show, for example, the example is like, you know, you can show someone like swinging a door shut. You don't have to show on screen the door shut. You know, there's an implication that, you know, after the door was, you know, swung, that it's going to shut. And I feel like this is one of the problems with this show is that they're actually showing us everything and they're not really leaving enough to us to kind of like speculate about or assume or wonder or you know, just imagine that everything is kind of force-fed to us. You know, someone escapes, they're killed.
Yeah.
Someone turns, they're killed. Someone says exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. And maybe this is meant for a different audience. I mean, this is Amazon, you know, versus Netflix, right? And Amazon is intended probably for a little bit more mass market. It's intended for families. It's intended for something that's not going to be objectionable. And if you notice, there's very little vulgarity, right? They say shite, right? Instead of shit. You know, there's little, you know, they have a warning at the beginning about, you know, alcohol consumption. There's nothing that even resembles sex, you know, or funny business like that. Maybe that's kind of where Amazon is going, which is, look, we're not trying to create something that's going to be complicated for, you know, Pete's mom or Ethan's mom. Like, let's make this pretty straight down the middle, you know. And that's achieving you know.
Well, yeah, only to the extent if you force them to watch it. I don't think my mom's going to watch this show.
Nor will mine. But if they do, then they can just follow our podcast.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, I think that's a good point, though.
Okay, let's wrap up episode 3. Let's commit to doing a joint 4 and 5 breakdown on our next episode.
Agreed. I think that's the best way to do it, and then we can, and then you can hear our thoughts on not just the episode, but our on the overall season, and then decide if that's something, you know, worth watching or at least following. Because, you know, if things go well, there looks like there could be like 10 seasons of this show. If that's the case, great. But something tells me it's not 10 seasons worth.
So far, it is not. But on the other hand, if you would have asked me after the first 3 episodes of Game of Thrones, if I would have thought it would make it to 8 seasons, I would have been a little bit skeptical. And had you told me after the first Lord of the Rings movie, how many Lord of the Rings movies are there? Pete, tell me.
Well, so it's 1 book, 3 movies, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, apart from the book, which I didn't read either, I would have been not super convinced that there would be 2 more Lord of the Rings movies, but I mean, I guess there needed to at least be 1. They didn't cut the ring. In any case, neither here nor there.
Agreed.
Let's find out who is the dragon.
Let's find out. Hopefully in episodes 4 and 5.
All right, Pete, it's been real.
Thanks, Ethan.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Films and Stuff. If you haven't already, please subscribe and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts are downloaded. Films and Stuff. There is no substitute.